very much fulfills these purposes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout the Ratha Yatra parade, and as Srila Prabhupada has expanded it throughout the world, the holy name of Krishna is resounding tumultuously by hundreds and hundreds of devotees throughout the streets of the world cities. Lord Jagannath Balaram Subhadra personally come out of their temples to give their darshan, to cast their merciful glance upon even those who have tried for millions of births to escape their mercy. Through profuse prasadam distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, association of devotees, book distribution, Krishna's prophecy to establish religious principles and annihilate irreligion is being fulfilled. And thus, Advaitacharya's desire is also satisfied. The three internal reasons for the Lord's descent is explained by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities of his that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, endowed with the richness, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appears from the ocean. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed the real essence of Ratha Yatra. This festival has been going on here in Sri Chaitra since the Satya Yuga. For crores of years, it has been going on. Tens of millions of years. However, until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally participated in it, it was not revealed to the world the treasure of the inner meaning of Ratha Yatra. Today is the day of Gundicha Marjanam. It is a very, very important day. And in a few minutes, many of you will have the chance to go to Gundicha Temple to personally clean it in service of Lord Jagannath. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu observed the Snan Yatra ceremony, which takes place on the full moon day of the month of Jyestha. Snan Yatra is the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. The day he appeared in this very, very wonderful and mysterious form, along with his brother Balaram and sister Subhadra. On the Snan Yatra, the Lord is bathed with a very elaborate abhishek, and then he goes into seclusion for 15 days. During these 15 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in so much separation, not having the chance to see Lord Jagannath every day, that he could not remain in Puri. So he would go to Alalanath, which is a place just about an hour or so from here, near the ocean side. If we have a chance to go there, which we will try in a couple days, we will see that there is a large stone slab, and Lord Chaitanya would lay on that slab with the emotions of Srimati Radharani. He would be in such intense separation from Jagannath, who was Krishna, that his body was burning with such separation that the stone melted. And you will see the imprint of the entire body of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon this stone. The devotees came to Lord Chaitanya to tell him that it was almost the time of Ratha Yatra. And beside that, over 200 devotees from Bengal were coming to celebrate Ratha Yatra with the Lord, headed by Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, and other such great personalities. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri. He greeted his devotees. And after a very, very loving reunion with all of them, he personally distributed to them prasad, arranged their accommodations. At that time, when he was meeting all the devotees and glorifying their particular attributes, the Lord asked, "Where is Srila Haridas Thakur?" They showed the Lord. Down the road, a distance away, he was laying in the dust offering full prostrated obeisances. The Lord called someone to bring him. Haridas Thakur said, I am the most fallen. I am the most sinful. I am an outcast. I cannot come before the Lord. I am too much contaminated. I will be here offering my obeisances from a proper place." So the Lord did not want to disturb his sentiment. He went on embracing his devotees, bestowing unlimited mercy on each of them, and praising their qualities with his own mouth. Afterward, Lord Chaitanya personally came to the place where Haridas Thakur was laying on the roadside. Haridas Thakur, the Lord understood he wanted a place where he could have darshan and worship the chakra on top of the temple. Because Haridas was born from a family which was designated Malechas, Yavanas. Although he was such a pure Paramhamsa, Thakur, it was against the social etiquette for him to enter into the temple of Jagannath. Not only was he not allowed, but he did not think himself fit. So he never wanted to try. He was happy simply to worship the chakra on top of the temple. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally arranged for this place to be the bhajan kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya is Jagannath himself. Every day from Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to see Jagannath. Standing behind the Garuda Stamba, he would worship him for several hours and engage his devotees in the kirtan of the holy name. And then, after receiving Jagannath's prasad, he would come each day to this place that we are sitting today. And he would personally give his darshan to Haridas. Such a mystical revelation this is, that out of mercy for his devotee, who was so supremely humble, Lord Jagannath came out of his temple to give his darshan each and every day. Haridas Thakur would sit worshipping the chakra. How did he worship? By constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. He had vowed to chant at least 300,000 times the name of Krishna every single day, before even eating or drinking. This was how strict his standard was of worship. And the ecstatic symptoms of love of God would manifest themselves so beautifully on the body of Srila Haridas, because by the mercy of the Lord, he chanted offenselessly, purely, and therefore every name awakened Krishna Prema within his heart. One day Lord Chaitanya came out of the temple and he had a stick that was the Mahaprasad toothpick of Srila Haridasa. The Lord personally pushed it in the ground and out from it grew a beautiful tree, which is today called the Siddha Bakula, which we have all, that same tree, we have all so graciously, due to good fortune, chanted the holy names in remembrance of the Lord's mercy to his devotees. It was here in this place that Rupa Goswami, as well as Sanatan Goswami, would reside whenever they came to Jagannath Puri. In our holy scriptures, some of the most important, illustrious pastimes between the Lord and his devotees took place here. When Haridas was very old, it was here that upon his prayer and request, he left his body as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees were dancing and singing in kirtan. It was in this very place, while Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted the body of Haridas Thakur and danced throughout this courtyard. He was so much in divine ecstasy attached to his devotee, he would not stop dancing with the body which his soul already had departed from. Finally, the devotees explained to the Lord, it is time for the last rites. And it was from this place that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu led the procession, dancing in ecstasy, to the sea, where he personally bathed the body of Haridas Thakur and personally buried him in the sand. Today, the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur is one of the great, great places of pilgrimage that are worshipped in Sri Jagannath Puri. So to go back, that day when Lord Chaitanya was greeting his devotees, giving them residences, arranging their prasad, having wonderful kirtan with them. The next day was that night. There was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for the superintendent of the Jagannath Temple, Kashi Mishra, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and told him that the day after tomorrow is Rath Yatra. Tomorrow is the day we will clean Gundicha Temple. I will personally go with my devotees to clean. I want you to arrange all facilities. The superintendent of the temple said, my lord, is not befitting for you to engage in such menial services. But whatever you order is my life's mission. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya met all his devotees in front of Gundicha. He personally put chandan with his own hands on each devotee's body. He worshipped his devotees. Then he personally handed a broom to each devotee. Together they all went into the Gundicha temple and began to sweep. They were sweeping and sweeping and sweeping. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was sweeping with his own cloth. And he was inspiring the devotees. He said, I could tell how much each of you are working hard by how big is the pile of the straw, the sand, and dust that you are collecting. So all of the devotees, they made one big pile. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only himself made another pile. And it was far bigger than all the other devotees put together. It was as if he had thousands and thousands of hands, how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning the Gundi Chata. After they picked up all the sand, dust, and dirt, and straw particles, and cast them out of the temple, then the Lord explained that now we should try to find smaller, subtler grains until nothing is left. So for a second time, they completely cleansed the Gundicha temple to make it completely thorough. Now Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in this connection that Gundicha is Vrindavan. The Jagannath temple represents Dwarka. Rath Yatra is the festival of bringing Krishna to Vrindavan. The throne of our heart for a devotee is meant to be the home of Krishna or Vrindavan. However, Krishna will not be pleased to sit within the throne of our heart if it is not perfectly clean. This is the purpose of human life, to clean the heart. The straw, the dust, the sand, and the various dirty particles of the Gundicha temple represent material desires, material attachments, desires for any type of sense gratification, lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, illusion, the desire for profit or distinction, the desire for followers, the desires for name and fame, the desires for money. Any inclination to find faults or criticize others. Krishna will not sit in our heart and as long as there is even a single grain of such contaminations that is remaining. So we must very carefully clean our hearts. And that cleaning process takes place by hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting His holy name. And a devotee should be so thorough, so attentive to clean every last particle of material attachments from the heart. And that means we have to be very strict, very conscientious, and very sincere in our sadhana and in our service attitude throughout our life. As the Gundicha temple was thoroughly cleaned, there were hundreds of devotees who were standing with clay pots full of water, ready to wash it. Eagerly standing, they waited for the Lord's order. When the Lord gave His order, immediately bucket after pot after pot after pot of water was thrown in every direction, on the walls, on the ceiling, on the floor, on the altar, the Jagamohan, the Kirtan hall, the place where the bhoga was offered. And there was so much enthusiasm that devotees were getting the water from Indrajumna Sarovar and bringing it like chain process of bringing the buckets to the temple, then taking the empty ones down, filling them up and bringing them to the temple. And sometimes the buckets were breaking because there were so many people with so many buckets. So there were people, full-time service was just getting new buckets. And then they were finding different wells to get water so they can bring it from all directions. This is the enthusiasm of the Vaishnavas that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generated. And meanwhile, as they were all cleaning, not a single word was said except Krishna, Krishna. Nobody said, give me water, Can you clean this place? They would just say, Krishna, Krishna, and whatever they wanted was understood by everyone. Because they were so intimately united in the spirit of service, they had such a deep understanding of each other. This is Vaishnava. When we are thoroughly united, one-pointedly, in serving the Lord, there develops a very, very deep understanding amongst each other. That really all you have to do is say, Krishna, Krishna. So everyone was saying, Krishna, Krishna. And the work was getting done so wonderfully. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased to see the enthusiasm and the determination of the devotees to clean this temple. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally polishing the altar of the Lord, one Bengali Vaishnava, he wanted to get special mercy. So he personally poured water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and then caught it and drank it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became externally very angry, but internally very pleased. Externally angry because he wanted to establish a principle that in the place of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no one should be worshipped like this. He was in the role of a devotee. He said to Swarup Damodar, what is this Bengali Vaishnava of yours doing? Now, Srila Prabhupada, he explains the great significance of what he said. What is this Bengali Vaishnava of yours doing? That means Lord Chaitanya was establishing the principle of parampara. That all of Bengali Vaishnavas are the property of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami in parampara. It is coming down. So Swarup Damodar Goswami gently pushed him out of the temple. And then he asked Lord Chaitanya to kindly forgive him. Lord Chaitanya wanted to manifest his natural symptom of humility. After completely letting all the water out, then filling it again and washing it and letting it out, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his own dhoti was polishing the floor, polishing for every part of that Gundicha temple was shining. Then only was it fit for Lord Jagannath to come. In some places, he was washing it and polishing with the tears of his ecstatic love. Then they went to the temple of Nrsingadeva and they thoroughly washed that. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began an ecstatic kirtan. He personally chanted and personally danced. Because all the devotees were dancing, all the devotees were chanting, Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. He turned to one of Sri Advaitacharya's sons, whose name was Gopal. He said, Gopal, chant and dance in ecstatic love. Gopal began to dance in ecstasy. In so much ecstasy, he fell down to the ground unconscious. Advaitacharya, his father, came running to him. He placed Gopal in his lap. There was no symptom of life in his body. All the devotees gathered around, loudly chanting in Gopal's ears the holy name of Krishna. Gopal laid there with no symptom of life. The devotees chanted more and more and more, but he did not respond. Advaitacharya, as well as all the devotees, because they loved him so much, his association was so dear to them, they all began to uncontrollably cry. Now do not mistake that they were attached to the bodily conception of life. They were all fully realized souls. In fact, many of them were avatars of the personality of Godhead. So why are they crying over someone who appears to be dead? They are fully acknowledged that the soul is eternal, that the body is just a temporary place. Because this is the nature of devotees. They love each other's association so dearly and so deeply, because the association of such great devotees instills so much happiness in our hearts, because they bring Krishna so much to our hearts. So the love of the devotees for Krishna is not different from the love of the devotees for other devotees. So they were weeping and crying. Then Lord Chaitanya, he placed his hand upon the heart of Gopal and said, "Gopal, stand up." Gopal stood up. And all the devotees in great ecstasy were dancing while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then they all went to Indrajumna Sarovar. They performed very loving water pastimes there. And after that, there was a fantastic feast, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally relished the prasad of Lord Jagannath with the devotees. The next day, which is the second day of the waxing fortnight of the month of Ashada, is the day that Ratha Yatra is performed. In the Skanda Purana, the largest of all the Puranas written by Srila Vyasadeva, there is the Utkala Khanda, which describes the holy place of Jagannath Puri in very elaborate details, with great histories. And there, as well as in other Puranas, the Ratha Yatra ceremony is explained. On this day, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu woke up very early in the morning in the darkness with his devotees. And they came to the Singhadwaram to witness the Pandu Vijay. Pandu Vijay is the beginning of Ratha Yatra. It is when first Lord Balaram, then Subhadra Devi, then Jagannath are carried out to their carts. These carts traditionally are made new every single year. Have you seen the carts yet? They begin making the carts. The carpenters begin 2 months before, on Akshaya Tritiya. However, many months before, they have to search for the wood. To make these three carts, it takes minimum of 600 full-size trees. Big, big full-size trees. And the only place these trees grow is in Orissa, on the banks of the Mahanadi River. Traditionally, they would take these trees and they would have to float them down the river to get them close to Puri. Then they'd have to let them dry in the sun for several months. And 2 months before, on Akshaya Tritiya, is when the carpenters begin their work. They work practically day and night. Hundreds, thousands of people working on these carts. And in fact, the people who work on the cart, not just any hired carpenter, but they have to be people who are coming from a family that for generations and generations and generations have been making these carts. And they're made exactly the same according to specifications every year. And they're so expert that they hardly use a single nail or screw. They cut so everything fits so nicely. Jagannath's cart is each cart weighs tens of tons in weight. Jagannath's cart has 16 wheels with 16 spokes in each wheel. It has the flag of Garuda, and it is called Chakradvaj or Nandi Ghosh. Balaram's cart has 14 wheels with 14 spokes in each wheel. On the flag is the plow, and the name of it is Taladvaj. Subhadra's cart has 12 wheels with 12 spokes, and the flag has a lotus, and the name of that cart is Padmadvaj. So these carts are waiting for the Lord. At the time of Panduvijay, the Dayatas. Dayatas are the people from the Sabara caste. Back in the time of Satya Yuga, when Maharaj Indrajumana installed Jagannath originally in this place, the Sabaras were the original pujaris of the Nilamadava deity who later incarnated as Lord Jagannath. So the descendants of Vishvavasu, they are still the only people allowed to take care of Jagannath during the Anavasar, when he is in seclusion for 15 days. And they are in charge of the whole Ratayacha festival. In fact, one such person, Ram Kumar Panda, he is the person who so lovingly and graciously helps us to make all arrangements in our yatras here. He's one of these very special personalities. So as they were bringing, you will see tomorrow, these deities are very, very big. They have to take them with ropes and with hands, and so many people trying to carry. Balaram comes out. They bring him from one pillow to another. These pillows are big, big pillows called tulis. I've never seen it myself, but I've seen it through the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tomorrow, for the first time, perhaps I will have the opportunity to witness this most sacred event. It is explained that as they're bringing them out, the deities are so heavy that sometimes the pillows break and the cotton goes flying in the air. So Jagannath is first put on his cart. Then Subhadra is put on her cart, and then Jagannath is brought. Now it is explained that as Jagannath is brought out, he's moving around, as are the other deities, just like he's completely intoxicated. You will see this tomorrow. Would you like to hear the story about that? We have two choices. If I go on too long here, then we'll just go directly to Gundicha Temple. If I stop very soon, then you can go to Tota Gopinath Temple, because today's Gadadhar Pandit's disappearance day, and we can have kirtan there and then go to Gundicha. So which do you prefer, that I speak longer or we go to Tota Gopinath? We'll have a vote. First is Tota Gopinath. Second is speak little longer. You're too tired to make it. Anyways, I won't go further. We are all under the influence of time, whether we like it or not. So the Lord, actually in Jagannath Puri, the form of Lord Jagannath is the form of Krishna in the ecstasy of separation from the inhabitants of Vrindavan and especially Srimati Radharani. And the Ratayatra is Krishna returning to Sundarachalam or Gundicha, which represents Vrindavan. So Krishna is intoxicated with the madness of ecstasy of separation as he's about to be brought. And you will see that is how they are moving around like drunken deities. When they are placed upon the cart, at that time, you'll see tomorrow, there is a particular ritual that's observed. It's called Chera Paharna. And that is when the Gajapati Raj of Puri to come to greet the deities. And then there is a procession where the king of Orissa in a palanquin comes, and then with a broom with golden handle, he personally sweeps the street and sprinkles it with scented water. This is the tradition. This goes from the time in the 15th century. Well, actually, it goes all the way back to Satya Yuga. But there is one particular incident that is very interesting. In the 15th century, there was a king of the name Purushottam Raj. He was the king of Puri. And he was, with his armies, conquering various provinces. During his journey, he came to Kanchi, which is south of the Kalinga district. And there he made very dear, intimate allies with the king of Kanchi, whose name was Narasingha Raj. So this king of Kanchi was so pleased that he offered his beautiful daughter, whose name was Padmavati, to the king in marriage. So King Purushottam was very pleased to accept this offer. However, it was just about time for Ratayatra in Puri. So he said, I have to get back to Puri immediately to observe Ratayatra, so I cannot get married now. He had his priorities established. So he invited the king of Kanchi to come with him also. King of Kanchi could not come, but he sent one of his representatives, one of his ministers. So at the beginning of the parade, the first thing before the deities move is the king of Puri sweeps the road with a broom. So the minister couldn't understand this. How is a king taking the lowest possible position of a street sweeper? So he went back and told the king of Kanchi. King of Kanchi was very much disheartened to hear this. He sent a message to Maharaj Purushottam and said, I'm very sorry, I cannot marry my daughter to one who takes the occupation of a chandala, a low-class person sweeping streets. So King Purushottam felt, this is an offense to the Lord. I was doing this for Lord Jagannath. He is offending Jagannath by saying this. So he immediately mobilized his armies and went to attack him. He attacked Kanchi and very, very hopelessly lost the entire battle. Only a few soldiers were left. He was coming back and he was thinking, I wonder why Jagannath made me lose like this. On the way, he came to the hermitage of one very great Vaishnava devotee of Jagannath. And he explained that this has happened. So this devotee said to Maharaj Purushottam, did you ask Jagannath's permission and get his blessings before you went to fight that battle? King Purushottam said, I was so angry that he made this aparad, I forgot. I just went to fight. The sage said, nothing can be auspicious without receiving the permission and the blessings of the Lord first. So he returned to Puri. He He came to Jagannath's temple. He's crying. I'm sorry, I forgot to get your permission. But actually, I was not doing it for my pride. I was doing it for the dignity of your lordship. People should know that service to you is not the activities of a chandala or a low-class person. It is the highest occupational duty. So he cried and prayed to the Lord for hours and hours and hours and hours until late night. Then he heard a voice. He said, go again and attack immediately. And myself and Balaram will personally come within your army to help you defeat them. So when the news spread that King Purushottam was about to leave, he didn't have hardly an army left. Just ordinary people started volunteering because they heard that Jagannath and Balaram were going to fight with the soldiers of King Purushottam. So they were so excited to fight with Krishna and Balaram that even old people, even children, even diseased people, they all said, let's go, let's fight. So he attacked. On the way, as he was traveling, there was this one simple lady. Her name was Manika. And she was just selling milk products. She was selling, actually, buttermilk. And these two very effulgent personalities, one with a dark complexion and one with a white complexion, came up with horses and asked for some buttermilk. So she gave them buttermilk. They said, we don't have any money, but we're soldiers fighting for King Purushottam. And they took off, one of the soldiers took off his ring and said, keep this ring, and when Maharaj Purushottam comes, give him this ring, and then he'll pay you for all my buttermilk. So they went forward. And then King Purushottam came, and he saw the lady on the side of the road. She stopped him. Are you King Purushottam? He said, yes. You owe me some money. What is this? She said, these two soldiers, they came on horses. One was very dark complexion, one was very light complexion, very beautiful, young. And they gave me this ring, and they said that you would pay me for the buttermilk. He looked at the ring. It was the sacred ring made out of the most beautiful jewels and gold that was the special decoration of Lord Jagannath on particular festival days. So the king understood that, yes, Krishna and Balaram have come. Before that, he was wondering, how am I going to win this? I don't see Krishna and Balaram in my army, and look at my army. When are they going to come? But then when he saw that ring, he said to her, as a gift, I will give you this entire village. And to this day, that village is called Manikapatna. Then the king was completely fearless. He went in and they defeated the king of Kanchi. And one of the deities that he took from the king of Kanchi's palace was the deity of Ganapati Ganesh that is in the Jagannath temple. Those of you who are fortunate will see. And also, it is said that the Radha Kanta, the deity that is in the house of Kashi Mishra, was also taken from there. He was in the temple for some time and later transformed. And that is the place where the Gambhira is. So, after defeating the king of Kanchi, the king of Kanchi brought Padmavati and said, so here is, he said, Purushottam Maharaj took her and told his minister, he said, give her to one of the menial servants of the kingdom. It was considered to be like an insult to the king of Kanchi. He said, give her to one of the menial servants of the kingdom in marriage. So the minister was very clever. He didn't get her married to anyone. The next year, during Rath Yatra, King Purushottam was sweeping the street. In front of everybody, the minister said, I was told to give Padmavati to a menial servant of the kingdom, and I want to give her to a street sweeper today. So the Lord happily married her, and the son of Purushottam and Padmavati was Maharaj Prataparudra. So on the day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's seeing the beautiful sight of Jagannath coming out, as the Pandavijaya was taking place, Lord Chaitanya with folded hands was calling out, Manima, Manima, which is an Orissan traditional way of respectfully offering obeisances to a very exalted person. Maharaj Prataparudra then with great humility and devotion began to sweep the street and sprinkle it with scented water. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the king, who he refused to give any interview with for any other reason, taking such a humble, menial position to serve the Lord and the devotees, the Lord's heart melted, and he decided, I will give him all my mercy. If you want the mercy of the Lord, you will not get it by becoming a great scholar. You will not get it even by becoming a king. But if the Lord sees you are very humble, with no false prestige, in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant, then only will you be qualified to receive the Lord's mercy. It is the tradition that the king of Orissa, after sweeping, he goes to each of the carts, first Balaram's, then Subhadra's, and then Jagannath's, and offers them flowers and prayers. You will see all of this tomorrow. And then the procession begins. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu divided his devotees into 7 kirtan groups. In one group he had Swarup Damodar Goswami, the main singer, and Advaitacharya, the main dancer. The second group, Srivas Thakur was the main singer, and Nityananda Prabhu was the head dancer. The third group, Mukunda Dutt, was the lead singer, and Haridas Thakur was the lead dancer. The fourth group, Govinda Ghosh was the lead singer, and Vakreshwar Pandit was the lead dancer. Then there was the devotees from Kulinagram. They formed another group with Satyaraj and Ramananda as the lead dancers. The devotees from Srikanda formed the sixth group with Narahari and Raghunandan, the lead dancers. And the devotees from Shantipur with Achyutananda, the lead dancer, formed the seventh group. There were 2 murdangas in each group and 14 singers. There were 14 murdangas, and they were playing tumultuously. Lord Chaitanya had 4 groups in front of the cart of Jagannath, one on each side, and one in the rear. As they began to chant and dance so ecstatically, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. He was running from one group to another, enlivening all the devotees. When Maharaj Prataparudra saw this dancing and chanting, he was struck with wonder. He had never seen kirtan like this. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained to him, this is not ordinary kirtan. This is Prem Sankirtan. This is the Sankirtan of pure love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar. He has come to inundate the entire world with love of God through this Sankirtan of the Holy Name. As the cart was pulled by the devotees, Lord Jagannath was seeing the sandy road as none different than the banks of the Jamuna. And he was very pleasingly taking his ride back to Vrindavan. Dandavat Maharaj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running from one Sankirtan party to another. Then he performed a great miracle. He simultaneously expanded himself into all seven Kirtan parties. And each Kirtan party was thinking that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is only with us. He does not leave us. He's not with anyone else. He just stays with us. They were feeling such a reciprocation of his love. In fact, each devotee in each kirtan party was thinking, Lord Chaitanya is only looking at me. He's showing such special mercy to me. Only a few very, very exceptional persons who received the mercy of the Lord could understand what was really happening. Maharaj Prataparudra, because he took the position of sweeping a street for the Lord and his devotees, he was given the benediction to see how Lord Chaitanya was simultaneously dancing in ecstasy in all seven parties at the same time, encouraging all the devotees to take shelter with pure love of the holy names of Krishna. Folded hands, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the deity and began to chant, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagad Hitaya Krishna, Go Indaya Namo. This kirtan was so tumultuous, and Lord Chaitanya's dancing was so sweet, and there were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people there. So the devotees, so that no one would interrupt Lord Chaitanya's dancing, they made circles around him. Three circles around him, holding their hands. The first circle of devotees holding their hands was led by Lord Nityananda. The second around that was Kashishwar Pandit and Govinda. And the third around that was Maharaj Prataparudra and his assistants and ministers. They were rendering this humble service to the Lord by keeping the crowds away. At one time when Lord Chaitanya was dancing very beautifully, Haridas, or King Prataparudra was watching with such pleasure. But then Srivas Thakur, who was also watching in ecstasy, was standing right in front of the king. The king's minister, Harichandan, very gently and politely asked Srivas to move. But Srivas was in another world. He asked him again and again and again and again to move. But Srivas was just absorbed. So when he asked him again, Srivas turned around and slapped him. Harichandan was about to say something to Srivas, but Maharaj Prataparudra told him, you are the most fortunate. You have been touched by the great Srivas Thakur. I am so unfortunate that such mercy does not come to me. This kirtan was so wonderful. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he astounded everybody. Anyone who saw his dancing attained pure love of God immediately. This was the mercy that he gave out during the Ratha Yatra. Even Lord Jagannath himself was astounded. Lord Jagannath just stopped his cart and with his eyes very, very big, unblinking, was just watching the beautiful Lord dancing. Even Balaram and Subhadra, they couldn't even move. They were stunned at seeing the beautiful dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should understand that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the sentiments and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. It was actually Srimati Radharani dancing, completely capturing the heart of Lord Jagannath. When Lord Chaitanya was dancing, the 8 symptoms of ecstatic love were manifesting on his body. Mahabhav was being personified as never before in this earth. First the Lord's, his body began to erupt with bumps. He looked like a silk tree with thousands and thousands of thorns coming out. Then his hairs were standing on end. His teeth began to chatter like a child in the winter. They were chattering so fast and so hard that people were in fear that all of his teeth would fall out at any second. He was perspiring, profuse perspiration, like rivers coming from every pore of his body. And simultaneous to perspiration, there was volumes of blood flowing out from each pore of his body. He was so choked up that the only words that could come out of his mouth were jajagaga, jajagaga. And he was pouring tears out of his eyes like syringes. It is explained that his whole body was just soaked with the tears flowing from his eyes. And all the devotees around him in kirtan, they were all completely soaked by the tears flowing from the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His body was changing into different colors. Sometimes it was pink, sometimes it was white, sometimes it was bluish, sometimes it was all different colors. And then at other times he would become stunned, where he would not even move for a long time. Then he would roll in the ground like a golden mountain. Other times he would fall to the ground so hard that it made tumultuous sounds that even the king and his associates had to hold their ears in fear. At other times, the Lord's limbs would become as hard as dry wood. Other times he stopped breathing as if there was no symptom of life. And at other times, volumes of foam would start flowing out of his mouth like nectar from the moon. One devotee of the name Shubhananda, who was very expert at relishing transcendental mellows, he caught that foam and drank it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appealed to Swarup Damodar Goswami to sing. Swarup Damodar Goswami knew exactly what was the sentiments of the Lord's mood within his heart. Lord Chaitanya is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi. She knew exactly the Lord was thinking. So he would sing a particular song just corresponding to his particular feelings. He sang one beautiful song. The translation is that now that I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of, I was being burnt by Cupid and was withering away. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he began with his hands to perform dramatic performances, exactly enacting what Swarup Damodar Goswami was singing. In the mood of Sri Radharani, taking Krishna to Vrindavan, he wanted to make sure that Lord Jagannath was completely attentive of her feelings. So sometimes Lord Chaitanya would go to the back of the cart and dance, just to test Lord Jagannath. At that time, the cart would stop. No one could move it. Why? Because Jagannath wanted to prove to Radharani that I am waiting for you. And only when Lord Chaitanya would come dancing in front would he begin to move. In this regard, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains what is the mood of Ratha Yatra. When Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura, the gopis and the gopas, they were pleading with Krishna not to leave. They were weeping and crying. The gopis were laying their bodies in front of the wheels of the chariot of Akrura. But kill us, but don't let us live in separation from you. The Lord pacified them by promising that he would return. This promise kept them alive. Krishna then went to Mathura. He killed Kamsa. But Devaki and Vasudev, who were his mother and father also, they missed all the nectar of his childhood Leela. So they begged him to stay with them for some time. On the appeal of his devotees, the Lord and Balaram stayed. Also, there were so many other demons who had massive armies that were attacking Krishna because he killed Kamsa. Jarasandha, he had millions and millions of soldiers in his army. He was attacking again and again. So Krishna did not want to go to Vrindavan to subject these simple cowherd boys and cowherd girls to such a thing. So he stayed in Mathura. But he decided to send Uddhava to Vrindavan to give them a message. Because Krishna is living within the hearts of his devotees. The devotees of Vrindavan, they could not practically eat or sleep while Krishna was away. 24 hours a day they only cried. Sometimes they would faint and fall unconscious. Other times they would cry. Those were the only activities going on in Vrindavan. With the expectation the Lord would come home, sometimes they would make garlands and bhoga. But when he didn't come, they just continued weeping and crying. So the Lord sent Uddhava. He explained that actually, in my heart of hearts, I cannot think of anything or anyone except the devotees in Vrindavan. Because the Lord reciprocates according to our particular consciousness, to the intensity of the love by which we cannot live without Krishna. Krishna cannot live without his devotee. It is explained that the Lord told Uddhav that just as in the summer season, the scorching heat of the sun completely dries up the ponds of water. And the turtles in that pond, because there's no water, they have to take shelter by going down under the pond into the mud for their survival. He said, similarly, my leaving Vrindavan is like scorching heat. The hearts of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, and primarily Srimati Radharani, their hearts are like that pond. Due to the scorching heat of my separation, it has completely dried up. Their hearts are completely empty. The tortoise represents their life force, and the mud represents my promise that I will return. The only thing keeping the gopis alive is they're taking shelter of that promise that I will return. When Krishna was writing the letter, he was weeping in such ecstasy of separation from the gopis that the letter practically could not be read. So the Lord sent Uddhava. He said, you are the only one who understands. You are the only one dear enough to me here in Mathura who can relay my message to them. Tell the gopis that although I am separate for some time, I am always in their hearts. They are always they should always meditate upon me within their hearts. I am always performing pastimes with them in their hearts. When Uddhava went and saw the condition of the Brijabasis, and he saw the condition of separation of the gopis, he made a vow in his life to perform tapasya in order to get the benediction of becoming a weed or a clump of grass in Vrindavan so that the gopis may, or even the servants of the gopis may place their feet on his head. He returned. Krishna later moved to Dwarka. From Dwarka he sent Balaram for some time during the month of Chaitra to try to pacify them. But eventually there was a solar eclipse. And it is the tradition that people go to Kurukshetra to observe the solar eclipse. So the Yadu dynasties, with their military phalanxes, with royal procession, went to Kurukshetra from Dwarka. When the residents of Vrindavan heard, they also went with their ox carts. When the Brijabasis arrived, they saw this massive camp made by the Yadus with all regal insignias and royal opulence. And there they met with Krishna after so long. And they were all mixing. Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj, the 16,108 queens, the gopis. But alas, Srimati Radharani and gopis met with Krishna. Ratha Yatra is revealed in this particular episode. Srimati Radharani was praying that the same boy that was the lover of my youth is standing before me today. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. However, I long to bring you back to the holy banks of the river Jamuna under the Kadamba tree to hear you playing your sweet flute, the fifth note of your flute. I am the same Srimati Radharani. And you are the same Krishna. But this is not Vrindavan. It is said that the heart and the mind are the same. But my heart cannot leave Vrindavan. And you are very fond of Vrindavan. So please bring your feet back, your beautiful lotus feet back to Vrindavan. Here you are riding on decorated elephants. You have crowns and the garments of a king. In Vrindavan, you wear a peacock feather in your hair and the wild forest flowers in the simple dress of a cowherd boy. Here you are surrounded by military ministers and all of these royal queens. In Vrindavan, you are surrounded by the cows and the little gopas and gopis. And there is the river Jamuna flowing and the Kadamba forest gardens. You may be able to live without us, but we cannot live without you. Do you not see how we are all literally on the verge of death and separation from you? And you sent this message through Uddhava that we should always meditate on you. But we are not mystic yogis, we are gopis. We cannot understand this meditating on you within our heart. We are not attached to these processes of mysticism or jnana. We don't even want liberation. All we understand is our desire to serve you and personally please you. So please come back to Vrindavan. I do not care for the miseries and pains within my heart, Srimati Radharani said. But look at Yashoda Mai, look at Nanda Maharaj. They are on the verge of death. The Jamuna will not even flow. Even the grass and the cows will not give milk. The calves will not suckle their mothers. The grass will not even grow. The whole of Vrindavan is on the verge of death and separation. Please do not kill them. Come back to Vrindavan. This was her prayers to Krishna in Kurukshetra. Krishna told them that the perfection of all perfections you embody in your love for me. The same ecstasy of separation that you have for me, I have for you. I will certainly return to Vrindavan. Just two or four more demons and then I will come. I have to kill them. At that time, Srimati Radharani and Gopis, in their hearts, they brought Balaram, Subhadra and Krishna to Vrindavan in carts. From Kurukshetra, where the Lord was manifesting his Dwarka Leela of Aishwarya Bhav, they were bringing him to Vrindavan. Lord Jagannath is Krishna. It is explained that... What time is it? Lord Jagannath, when he was in Balaram and Subhadra, in their ecstasy of seeing and hearing of the glories of Srimati Radharani and the gopis' love, they went into such ecstasy that they assumed these forms. You know the story, how in Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka, after seeing the ecstasy of the residents of Vrindavan, Kurukshetra, and constantly at night hearing Krishna crying out the names of Srimati Radharani, they wondered why he doesn't, his relationship with us is almost mechanical. His heart is in Vrindavan. He dreams about Sri Radharani and gopis. He's constantly chanting their names. So they inquired from Rohini Devi, can you tell us the story? What are the pastimes of Vrindavan that so much inundate our husband's heart with love? They knew that of everyone living in Dwarka, there were only three people that were in Vrindavan during Krishna's Leela. Krishna, Balaram and Rohini, the mother of Balaram. Rohini Devi said, I can tell you about the transcendental Leela of Vrindavan, but you'll never understand it because you have this Aishwarya Bhav. You still think that your husband is the Lord. However, just to give you some hint of what Vrindavan Leela is, I will narrate. But as soon as I start narrating, Krishna and Balaram will come. Because wherever their glories are being discussed, they come to that place. And if they come, I will not be able to continue speaking. So they assembled in a big assembly hall, and Subhadra volunteered to guard the door like this to make sure they didn't come in. And if they were coming, she would tell Rohini. So Rohini Devi began to explain the glories of Vrindavan. As she was describing, Subhadra became stunned. She couldn't move, she couldn't speak. She was in ecstasy. Krishna Balaram heard Vrindavan Leela's going on. They knew. They immediately came to the place. Jagannath stood on one side of Subhadra. Krishna stood on one side of Subhadra, Balaram on the other, as they were in the doorway. As they were hearing the Leela of Vrindavan, they were all stunned and motionless. Then, when Rohini Devi began to explain the glories of the love of Srimati Radharani, they went into such ecstasy that all three of them, their hands, legs, and arms entered into their bodies like a tortoise. Their eyes became dilated, and they all had big, ecstatic, blissful smiles on their faces. This is the origin of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath, as we see them in Puri today. At that time, Narada Muni happened to be passing overhead. He saw these forms, and he was completely ecstatic. He had never seen such forms like this. Mahabhav Prakash. Balaram, Jagannath, and Subhadra, they are not different. Their souls and their hearts are not different from their bodies. What was in their hearts, their ecstatic love, their bodies melted in the same way. When Narada Muni came close for a closer darshan, they came back to their normal selves. But Narada Muni said, "I have seen it, I have seen it. I have seen this Mahabhav Prakash. Please grant me the benediction that someplace in this world, these forms of Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath, in the ecstasy of tasting the sweetness of Radharani's love, will always be giving darshan and worship." So the Lord, to fulfill his devotee's desire, said yes. So it will be. In Purushottam Kshetra, I will remain in these forms eternally throughout the ages. Jagannath Puri is also called Sri Kshetra. Sri is Srimati Radharani. It is the place where the love of Srimati Radharani is inundating this atmosphere. And it is explained that Balaram, Subhadra, and Jagannath are like three floating pieces of wood floating in the ocean of Srimati Radharani's love. So this is Jagannath. The form of Jagannath is specifically Krishna in the intense ecstasy of separation from Srimati Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, who is tasting the sweetness of Radharani's love. The full Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani was being manifested in the heart of Lord Chaitanya during the Ratha Yatra. So it was the ultimate reciprocation of the spiritual world. Ratha Yatra means Jagannath, who's Krishna crying for Radharani, and Lord Chaitanya, who is Radharani crying for Krishna. So the reciprocation of this parade is revealed. And the benediction was given by the Lord that all those devotees who take shelter of the Sankirtan movement of the holy name will enter into this divine Leela of ours. So this is the great blessing of the chanting of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya was dancing, and Jagannath and Balaram were in the ecstasy of watching his dancing, and all the devotees were being soaked with the nectar of love of God by seeing this reciprocation. At one point, Lord Chaitanya fell down. He fell down right in front of Maharaj Prataparudra. The king very gently and respectfully tried to pick the Lord up. The Lord came back to consciousness and he saw that he was in the arms of the king. And he moved away and said, "How abominably condemned I am. I have been touched by a materialistic person." Then he went away. The king felt very, very bad. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Actually, you should feel happy. The Lord is very pleased with you. He personally came just to fall in your arms. However, to teach the world that those in the renounced order should not intimately associate with materialistically connected people, he had to do this." So the king was pacified. So the procession continued. And then they came to a place called Balagandhi. In those days, I don't think they do this anymore, at Balagandhi, the three rats stop. And everyone comes together who wants to offer bhog offerings to the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra, the Brahmins, the common people, all around in all four sides, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of offerings with people making prayers. At that time, Lord Chaitanya entered into a garden near the Gundicha temple. He laid on a raised platform. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, and other devotees, they instructed Maharaj Prataparudra that you should enter, but not in the robes of a king, but those of a Vaishnava mendicant. Maharaj Prataparudra, taking the permission of all the devotees, entered into the garden. He began to massage the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya in his legs and sang the beautiful prayers of the gopis. Jayati te tikam janmana praja. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became so pleased. He said he was in great ecstasy. And when King Prataparudra sang that one celebrated verse, Tavakatam Ratam Tapta Jivanam, the translation is that the hearing and chanting of the glories of Krishna is the ultimate perfection of life. It purifies the heart of all sins. It establishes pure love of God within the heart. And those who preach this message, those who are constantly hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, they are the most munificent welfare workers in all of society. Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he said, "Say it again, say it again, say it again." King Prataparudra just said it over and over and over again. Lord Chaitanya got up and embraced him. He said, "You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent." Again and again, the Lord embraced him. The Lord soaked the king with his tears of love, and the king soaked the Lord with his tears of love. After some time, Lord Chaitanya asked, "Who are you?" King Prataparudra could not be dishonest. So he replied, "I am the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. My only ambition in life is that you accept me as the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants." Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with the king. He was in the ecstasy where he was pretending to not even know who he was. But the Lord, pleased by his humility and how dearly he served the Vaishnavas, the Lord at that time showed Maharaj Prataparudra his divine opulences. When King Prataparudra saw this, he was revealing his spiritual opulences. The Lord told him, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen." King Prataparudra then offered his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. came out of the garden and offered obeisances to all the devotees who blessed him with this good fortune. And all the devotees, they were in transcendental happiness to see the mercy that the king had received. After this, the king of Puri, Maharaj Prataparudra, he sent thousands upon thousands of preparations of prasad to the garden. And Lord Chaitanya understood that all those devotees who were doing kirtan with him, they worked very hard all day long in their kirtan. So he personally began to distribute prasad. There's a whole explanation of pages and pages and pages of some of the preparations that were brought there. Swarup Damodar Goswami said that no one will eat until after you eat prasad, so please let us serve. So there was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful feast. It was time for the Rath cart to continue its journey to Gundicha. The common people were pulling, but it didn't move. Then the Gaudiyas, they came and they were pulling, 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 pulling. It didn't move. Jagannath's cart, none of the carts, they wouldn't move. At that time, Maharaj Prataparudra became very worried. He and his men, they started pulling Lord Jagannath's cart. Wouldn't move, not even an inch. King Prataparudra got the biggest, strongest, most powerful wrestlers in the kingdom, all. They were struggling and straining and panting. They couldn't move it even a particle of distance. Then he got all the most powerful elephants and harnessed them to the cart. The elephant keepers were beating the elephants and poking them. The elephants were roaring. Rah! They were pulling and pulling and struggling and straining. The carts would not move. People were astounded. They didn't, what is this? How is this? Lord Chaitanya came out with his devotees. He released all the harnesses of the elephants. He told all the wrestlers to go. Lord Chaitanya took the ropes and put them in his little sadhu devotee's hands. Then he went to the back of the cart. With his head, he pushed it. As soon as he pushed, the cart started moving. And the devotees weren't even pulling. The ropes were just laying in their hands and the cart was moving forward. Sri Jagannath Swami Ki! And all the hundreds and thousands of people of Puri saw this wonderful act of love by Lord Chaitanya. They all started calling out, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. Soon, the Rath cart reached its destination of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srimati Radharani and Gopi's desire is fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya's desire is fulfilled that Krishna had returned to Vrindavan. In the Gundicha temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in ecstatic love in the gardens before the altar of the deities throughout the entire day with his devotees. And that night, the Lord took rest in a garden called Aitota. So this is the description of Ratha Yatra as it is found in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given to us. Srila Prabhupada explained that when we are participating in Ratha Yatra, it should be our very, very sincere, heartfelt prayer that we are praying to Krishna to come back and reveal himself again in his home within our heart. For millions and millions of births, we have been in separation from Krishna. And to the degree we develop or cultivate the feelings of separation from Krishna, to that degree, our heart becomes a place that is attractive for Krishna to return. through hearing the glories of the Lord, through chanting the glories of the Lord, through a proper attitude of humble, submissive service to the Lord and His devotees. It is our aim in life that this mood of separation will gradually develop in our heart. So we should pray for this. We should pray for humility. We should pray for purity. We should pray for a genuine mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant, as King Prataparudra manifested. And in this way, we should celebrate Ratha Yatra. And as we're seeing the cart, or pulling the cart, or dancing and chanting before the cart, we should be in the mood of begging, praying for the Lord to again manifest Himself within the Vrindavan of our heart. And in this spirit, we should loudly be chanting throughout the day the holy names of the Lord. So at this time, how late is Gundicha Temple open? Nobody knows. I think that we should all go to Gundicha Temple at this time. And there you will all have the opportunity of cleansing the Gundicha Temple, participating in this wonderful pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And on another day we will go to Tota Gopinath Temple, Gambira, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, and all these places. It is also the disappearance day of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was actually doing what? His home is on the way to Gundicha, the birthplace of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it was during Ratha Yatra, 1 year, that the garland of Jagannath, little baby Bhakti Siddhanta, was hardly 6 months old. When he was brought to the cart, he immediately took the dust of the feet of Jagannath and put it on the head, and immediately the garland of Jagannath circled his body. Many great miracles take place on Ratha Yatra, and tomorrow a great miracle will take place that we're allowed to somehow or other participate on some level or another. How many of you here have participated in Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra before? This is a very special and blessed benediction. And Krishna reciprocates according to our consciousness. Radha Krishna Prabhu will explain what is the schedule, if there is one tomorrow, what we should do. But my request is take rest early this evening, rise early tomorrow, and really be in the best possible spiritual consciousness to serve Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet by participating in Lord Jagannath's Ratha Yatra. And it is my very deep prayer that all of you have a spiritual experience and attain a purification that will have a great effect in your progress back home, back to Godhead, through tomorrow's devotional service. Thank you very much.